beautiful way to tie that scripture back in. That weight acted as an anchor. You know, and the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 refers to a race. I've always looked at that as, you know, to train for football down in South Georgia. I think they threw us out there running with a tire behind us whenever we were old enough to walk to train for stuff. And you can't run as fast dragging a tire as you can not dragging a tire. But a weight is a weight, and whether you look at it as running a race or whether you look at it as a step of faith in following the Lord, a weight is a weight. And when you take up your cross and you follow the Lord, it's a step of faith. And Peter was willing to take the step of faith, but shortly after being out there on the water, he began to be concerned when the waves came, and he didn't continue to trust in the Lord. And may the Lord bless us to be able to continue to do that. I want to make sure that I also state that what Brother Brad said there. He said that some may disagree with him on that he talked about in our country in this past Tuesday, and he's right. Some may, but you know what we know for a fact is that the Lord is in control. And what I think that is a factual statement is when you go back and you read in the scriptures, and you read about the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, you read that there were some things that they did that when they compromised on those principles, the Lord didn't add His blessings to the country. And it's not political, it's a fact. There's been a lot of things that have been compromised in our country throughout these past, really, you can trace it back for some time, more than just 2 years. But we believe, as Bible-believing people, but that there are some things that we shouldn't compromise as a country. And so our prayer should continue to be, and we pray that the Lord's hand is in it. And I want to say that I agree with you. And may the Lord bless us to be able to say what's right's right and what's wrong is wrong from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be not in defense or promotion of any party, but in the promotion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave us these truths. And so please be in prayer for us as we stand before you. I want to read several verses of Scripture from Acts chapter 16 this morning. I believe that the Lord has burdened my heart to speak on some subjects, plural, that are contained here in the journey of the Apostle Paul through some of these regions. I've picked away at them, and I've tried to pray that there's got to be some one thing that the Lord wants me to speak here from, because there's so much material. But the more I pray, the more I realize that maybe it's just better if we graze the surface on the many subjects that are contained in the first. I'm going to read the first 15 verses, and if the Lord blesses us to go beyond that, we'll follow it. If He only blesses us to go through one, I pray that we've let ourselves or given ourselves the liberty to be able to follow the direction in which He guides us. Starting with verse 1 of Acts chapter 16, the word of the Lord reads, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come into Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia, and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman and to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. If I mispronounce those cities, you forgive me. But the pronunciation you just got will be the only one this morning. We've had a lesson around our house this morning trying to make sure we got those right. And I'm you have the potential to let it distract you trying to get that right and take away from what is the some of the other important points contained in these scriptures. I don't think that there's any words in the scriptures that are there by mistake. And I believe that includes the names of the cities. I believe that the Lord, by His inspiration, has provided even the names of cities. And you say, well, there's no maps that are in the inspired portion of the scripture, so why is it important? Well, one thing that you'll see here, and by understanding the geography of where the Apostle Paul was that he encompassed a long distance just in those 16 verses that I just read to you. 15 verses that I just read to you. There was a long distance travel. And if the Lord will be with us, that'll be one of the points that we want to touch on, is how Paul was not bound by a region. He was bound by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the first place that we read where he was in the region of Galatia. You'll remember he wrote a letter to the churches, plural, of Galatia later on. And the names of the cities where he currently is traveling is Derbe and Lystra. And he has come to these cities, and he stumbles by the providential hand of God upon one who is named Timotheus. That's the minister Timothy. That's the ones that he would write two epistles to later on. We would read, and history teaches us, that Timothy served in the capacity of an elder in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came upon him. And the scripture says that his mother was a Jewess who believed, but his father was a Greek. And that he took this one named Timothy, and he circumcised him, and he took him with him. And this sets forth the principle of the training of a minister in the New Testament church. God's people have, since the time of the constitution of the church, I'm not saying that our people have been perfect, and God forbid that I ever would, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has, and I pray will continue to seek and say, what does God's Word teach us about what is right and what is wrong? And one of the things that you can learn here through these series of verses of Scripture that the Apostle Paul coming into contact with Timothy is that there is a way to train a God-called man, a preacher. There's a way that he learns. And it is the way of a scribe. It is the way of a pupil, if you will. And that's the way that Scripture tells us that a minister is taught. Now, we believe that upon the change of a man, from changing from his state in Adam to a state in Christ, that there's things that are taught up. Scripture says that God writes His laws upon their hearts. They immediately are able to discern right from wrong. There's things that the Holy Spirit teaches. We're taught to love. The Apostle Paul would say, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I would write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Notice that's not what the Apostle Paul would take under his wing and say, I've got to teach Timothy how to perform brotherly love. The Apostle Paul would not contradict himself. He says if he doesn't have a need to write unto the churches concerning brotherly love, he doesn't have a need to teach Timothy about brotherly love, because the Lord teaches us the spirit of love whenever He changes our heart. But He did teach Timothy some things. Scripture says in verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. Keep. The Scripture refers to a keeping of the faith, to a keeping of the things in which God has given. It does not teach the change of things, does it? He said that we came and we taught some things for them to keep. I believe we still keep them today. Do you believe that, or do you think that if there's some things that we're lacking as a church, I'll be the first to stand before you today and tell you that we need to make some adjustments if you think that we're not doing something that we should be doing. And again, not calling out the perfection of the people of God. God's bride is perfect. But because it's kind of like the law. You know, there's nothing wrong with the law of God. The Scripture says that the only thing wrong with the law was the people. There's nothing wrong with the church except for those of us who are in it. And we're sinners. And we're in need of God's continuing guidance upon us. But the Apostle Paul thought it worthy to take this ministry and says, I need to not only show these churches throughout this region things that they should keep, I'm going to show this young minister these things so that whenever he branches out and he's no longer under my wing, he knows the things that the churches are supposed to keep. Yeah. Keep. I fell in love with the simplicity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ upon my first visit amongst our people. I know that I talk and I tell you about my experiences in God's church. And if you get tired of hearing them, then just don't talk to me during lunch. But I want to tell you about what the church has meant to me. And it's not because I worship the church. There's just a simple place that I found and said, the Lord dwells with these people. He dwells with them. And there's a presence that is in the midst of this that you can't experience anywhere else. And one of the things that struck me was, look how simple-minded these folks are. They sing. They sing. You know, I think the most of you know where I came from and how I grew up. And I stand before you today and tell you that there's people that I left in that church that I grew up with who, if they called on me right now, I'd break my neck to get to them. I love them. I love them very much. They're my family. They're people that if they show up in need, they get whatever they need. If I sit around the Thanksgiving table with them, I sit around the Christmas tree table, whatever, with them, they're my family, and I love them, and they're good people. But I hope that they didn't take offense to the fact that I no longer thought that some things that were going on were right. I enjoyed the simplicity of the old church, and I think that the Lord made it simple because it's real easy to take things under our own wing if we start adding things to it. The Apostle Paul said, I delivered unto them for some things to keep, not add. I know I've made this reference before that that when the apostles came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked them, he said, you know, where would we go that thou would have us to take the Passover? He said, you go to an upper room furnished. And I know that that room had to be furnished to partake of the Passover meant that there was some arrangements that had to be made in the room. The leaven had to be out and things like that. But it shows us that he didn't tell them to take anything with them in there. He said, it's ready. It's ready for you. And the Apostle Paul thought it was important, the inspired Word of God thought it was important enough for us to know that there were some things that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to keep. We delivered unto them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders that were at Jerusalem. That were at Jerusalem. The Scripture refers to the relationship between a father in the ministry. He refers to him, Timothy, as his son when he writes it. There's things that and I'm sure that the general laity, if you will, would maybe struggle with just how much a father figure in the ministry means to one trying to pastor a flock. There's no way if I sat down and opened up my deepest book of secrets to you that you could ever understand, because the burden doesn't lie with you. It lies with the man who the Lord has called, but there's ones who have gone on before us who have walked in our stead, that the Lord has through His inspired Word taught us that is how we are to be taught to handle certain situations. You know, I remember, and many of you were there, the day that I was ordained into the ministry, Brother Lonnie told me that day, he said, don't go at things by yourself. And I'm after you. I hope that's not contagious. Did you have your allergies? I went to the wrong side.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. It's too late once I realize what I did. But it's like the advice of your parents. Have your parents ever told you not to do something or to do something? And the times that you haven't listened to them, it's come back to bite you. I wish I could, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to go into detail on the number of times that I just could not believe that my father figures in the ministry were right about those certain things. Maybe when they told me to do this, maybe they weren't considering this particular situation. I've branched out on my own and tried a few things to handle things Brother Will's way. And I got to tell you, the times I've tried to handle things Brother Will's way, it's turned out the way in which it didn't need to turn out. And that's the reason why that advice was given, just as a father to a son. I talk to my daddy every day. I talked to him on the way into work the other day. He gave us a scare because his phone tore up. And I know that you all are around my daddy when he's not using his phone. He's in here in worship service or anything else. But if you've ever been with him anywhere else, you know that he's usually on the phone, on that cell phone. And I just knew that if there was something wrong with his phone, that he would call somebody and let them know what was wrong. But he gave us a scare the other morning because I called and Mama was up at my sister's house and nobody answered the phone at the house, nobody answered the cell phone. And, you know, we didn't know if somebody was just going to pull up and his truck was going to be there. But nevertheless, I talked to him every morning. And that's what concerned me, was that I didn't get a hold to him this morning. But there's things that I can talk to my dad about, and I can't necessarily get the full wisdom of the Word of God because he's not an ordained minister. He's not called man of God in that form. But there are ones who have walked in those shoes. This principle is taught here. It's important that we follow it. You know, I've often wondered, you know, why did the Lord not use the form of a seminary type school, minister school, to teach the ministry? And I've gotten several answers, and the one that I've become convinced on in myself, the reason why the Lord didn't use this forum, is because you take one man, one teacher, and he can take a room full of people on a very important principle, and he can turn the whole group of people in the wrong direction. Do you see that? He can misguide them in the Word of God, and instead of just one who's underneath him, or maybe two or three, it's now a whole room of people that are misconstrued upon some very important principles of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the principle that the Lord's Word has provided for us here is important for us to adhere to. But what you'll see is that Paul not only had some high points. I believe when he ran into this boy that it was a high point in his life. The reason why I enjoy following the Apostle Paul through the Scriptures, and I enjoy following the Lord Jesus Christ through the Scriptures, don't misunderstand me as I stand here before you this morning, but there's some things that you can learn from Paul that maybe you couldn't learn from the Lord, and that is, the Lord didn't make any mistakes, but Paul did. And so just as we walk through this world, there's times that we may stumble, there's mistakes that we may make. And you can read through the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you can see where he made some of his mistakes. He pressed into areas that the Lord would not have him to tread upon. The Scriptures say that I've read to you this morning that he had traveled through these regions, but he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Now, I hope to get to this some more here in a minute, but verse 14 mentions a lady named Lydia. And if you know where Thyatira is, it's in Asia. But Paul was forbidden to preach in Asia. Here you've got a sister that's way away from home, but we'll get to that some more here in a minute. But Scripture mentions in verse 5 that the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. And some, I read an article online last night. It's in the AJC today. I don't want to refer you to it. If you're not accustomed to reading the sports pages online, don't go pick up and read the article I'm about to reference. But it references the mega churches in the Atlanta area. It mentions, calls them out, you know, specifically by name. Some of them's budgets, they listed their budgets. I think the North Point Church up there in Alpharetta, their budget is $40.3 million a year. And they mentioned that the city of Alpharetta's budget, where it sits, is about $50 million. And it was just referencing faith in the Atlanta area and how it has exploded into these mega churches. But I tell you, I appreciate the fact that the article brought out that they've got any and everything that you need at these places. Any and everything. You need a basketball team, they've got it. You need a woman's day out, they've got it. You can bring your kids and you can drop them off and you can go do whatever you want to. I'm like what Elder Joe Nettle said whenever he was with us a few years ago. I believe that women need some time off, but you men are going to have to step up and babysit for a little while and give them some time away from the kids. But I shouldn't even use that with your own kids. I got a cousin that says it's not babysitting if it's your own. So it's not even babysitting, but you've got to step up and allow some of these things, allow them to go do it. It's not the role of the church to take on these things. It's appealing, and it's frustrating. Believe you me, I'm candidate number one for frustration on trying to show somebody the more simple way to worship the Lord, and yet I know they're good people. I know that I've seen enough of their life to know that God has touched their heart. I see it. I see them love their children. I see their concern for the eternity of those around them. I talk to them about it. They're concerned. Brethren, I believe it as I stand before you today that if somebody's concerned enough about the eternal soul of somebody that they love, it's because the Lord has done something to them. I believe they're God's people. I don't think that somebody who doesn't belong to God is going to be worried about where their loved ones end up. But yet they're drawn to what the world offers them in these churches. We get the flyers in the mail. Are we the only ones that get them? You know, we can come and participate in the children's program. We attended a church that before we found Bethany that you know, nobody ever knew us when we met there for worship, but they always wanted us to come to the young marriage groups, you know, and get to know some of the folks through that way. And you say, why are you going through all this, Will, Brother Will? Because the verse right before God's word mentions about the churches growing, he tells them that there was some decrees for them to keep. If we're going to grow, and I pray that we do. Do you pray for that? I believe there's people in this community that could benefit from getting to know each and every face. And I'm looking here, and even the ones that aren't here today. I believe there's people in this community that could benefit. I believe there's a city and a community that could benefit from it. Getting to know a simple people of God that worship in simplicity, in spirit, and in truth. I believe they're out there. I do. And you say, well, why haven't we to this stage? Well, we've got to continue to pray. Maybe there's some things that the Lord wants us to get secure on before he sends the folks to us. I don't know as I stand here before you today, but I believe it with every ounce of my being that you're good people. And I believe that when you come into contact with those from this world who are seeking a refuge, that this is a good place for them to come. The prophet Micah prophesied about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. I believe there's a people out in this world, and I pray that this country would turn back to a more simple form of worship. Pray for it. I pray that you pray for it. These churches grew and increased in number daily. But they didn't do it upon the offerings of things of this world. They did it upon the simple practices of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that carried this burden so heavily to lift people from the burden that they were under through a misunderstanding of the law that the Lord had given them. And he took it sometimes to places where the Spirit forbade him to go. The Spirit forbade him to go. He was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, Mysia, and then they sailed to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. We stand in need each and every time we meet here of the blessings of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit suffers you not, then your meeting is in vain. You know, the Lord himself said that. He said, they which worship me in spirit and in truth are the ones that worship me. The truth can be understood. The truth can, you can be able to wrap your mind around it. But if the Spirit of the Lord not bless the truth, then there's no absorbing of it. One of the things that I have been blessed to be able to read over the past couple of days is the journal of Elder Mike Goins from his ministry over in Africa. He took a trip over to Africa, and those churches over there are being established. The men are who are studying the Word of the Lord are growing in their knowledge to be able to teach the people of God over there the principles and practices of the Primitive Baptist. You know, one of the things that I've, and people are going to say, Brother Will, you're just too high on the Primitive Baptist. No, you can catch me on some things I think we need to work on, but I'm going to tell you about this. There's some things that the church does good, and you need a good pat on the back for it. And the thing that got me more than anything was to hear that those brethren who are part of that church over there, do you want to know what they ask our ministry when we go over there? They say, do we look like a Primitive Baptist church? They say, do we look like a Primitive Baptist church? They're not ashamed to be different from those around them. And you know, if I would have continued reading right here in Acts chapter 16, you would have read that the Apostle Paul, because he converted a soothsayer, he was beaten. He was beaten. And you say, we're never going to experience that. Well, I'm telling you, if you read the journal that he wrote while he was over there, while they were meeting under a tent with women, because they met during the day, because they were trying to do so much traveling, they didn't get to meet at night, and the men were at work during the day, and they had a tent full of women. And they said people in Muslim garb came and stood a circle around the tent while they stood there. And he said it was just amazing to hear those Africans continue to sing, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, in Swahili. And it didn't faze them at all. They just continued to sing hymns and praises unto the Lord. They But they ask, they say, do we look like a primitive Baptist church? They appreciate that simplicity. But one of the things that was amazing to read of that account was that they would stand up. And for years and years, you know, the Christians had been over there preaching to these people. And, you know, they would take out, they would take the word of the Lord and they would open it up. And they would read scriptures like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, but that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Brother Mike said he would read it, and his interpreter would not only reread the verse, he'd take about 5 minutes. And, you know, Brother Mike joked, well, do you want me to let you preach, or do you want to let me preach? You know, it was a joke. But then all of a sudden, they take him to Philippians chapter 2, where it says, work out your own salvation. And he said, it was like a light bulb went off in their head. Wow. There's a difference. There's a difference. The truths that are contained in Scripture, and it was not in and of itself. You can show this to some people. But unless the Holy Ghost open up their eyes and their heart to be able to see it, you're just speaking to them in vain. The Lord's got to do some things there. I remember before I became a pastor, when I first started exercising, I thought, well, the hardest thing to do will be able to show somebody the truth. Once you show them the truth, it'll be easy to get them to join the church. And, you know, what I failed to recognize as a young boy was that the Lord is the one that showed them the truth. There's nothing hard about that. The Lord does. And He's given us here, and the Lord opens our heart. You read this account right there. Skip down to verse 14 with me right here with Lydia. Because there was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord had to make her attentive to the things that were going on around her. She was already a child of grace. She was sitting here worshiping God. If people are worshiping God, it's not because Adam taught it. It's because the Lord has changed them. And she's worshiping God. But yet it took the Lord to open her heart to be able to see the things and be able to see the truths that are contained in the Scriptures. But Paul pressed into areas that the Spirit suffered him not to go. There's mistakes there. You see the high? He's running to his son in the ministry, a lifelong friend. I believe that if you can spend enough time amongst our people, you can find the most friendliest people that exist on the face of this earth. You've got friends for life. If you'll open up your home to somebody whenever we have an annual meeting and somebody comes and stays in your home, it's amazing what you will have in your home. You'll have somebody that you've just made a friend with for life. Forgot where I was going with that. But he pressed into areas that the Spirit would forbid him to go. Oh, he just made a friend for life. He was on top of cloud nine. And here he comes down. He's in the dips. A preacher can get in the dips when the Spirit of God is not blessing the things in which he is trying to bring forth to the people of God. He's on low. Here he comes back and there's a vision that appears unto him by night where there's a man of Macedonia that says, come over here and help us. Now, I'm not asking, I think I've told you this here before, but I remember the first time you ever mentioned me being your pastor. I went home that Sunday night and I prayed and I just did one of those. You ever done one of those? I'm just going to open it and read where I open. And I'm not asking, I'm not saying that in order for the Lord to be part of any matter, that we wait on the fleece to be dry one day and wet the next. But I'm telling you, I opened this and I started reading in Acts chapter 16. And there we go. We read about the Apostle Paul going into Macedonia. And I said, well, I don't think we needed that to fall in love and have a burden for the people of God. But, you know, it never hurts. It never hurts to be able to see something like that. But even after Paul had gotten this, and he says, now, let's get up. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to travel over to Macedonia. Scripture even says that he, upon arrival there, that he abided certain days in that city. In other words, he got there and didn't have anything to do. It doesn't say that he preached there. It says he abided there in that city. In verse 12, he said, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. He says, low again. he's on high, he's on a low, he's on a high, he's got a vision, and now he's there in the city. And he's got nobody to preach to. He doesn't feel like. He's just abiding there in that city. Now what you'll read in this next verse of Scripture is about a worship service that took place out in the out in the rural parts. You know, I know that there was some concern, and if I was to tell you that I hadn't shared some of the same sentiments, that we're leaving an area that I don't know what the car count is that comes by here daily. I don't know what it is, but I know it's a heap of folks, and you're going to sort of an area that would be considered rural part of this county. Now, those of you who grew up in Metro Atlanta have a different definition of rural than I do from South Georgia. You know, we call rural down in South Georgia when it's a 5-minute drive to your neighbor's house. That's what we call the sticks, and where you have to pump in air and light down there to those folks who live that far away. But anyway, what you have here is a chief city. Now, I still don't think that it's a place like Corinth, like a New Testament Corinth, but it is a chief city. And the scriptures say that they went out by the riverside on a Sabbath day. Now, there's two things that you could think about here, the reason why they went out to the river for their worship service. Number one could be because the Romans would not allow them to worship in the city. Now, the reason why I don't follow that point of view is because there were other cities that the Apostle Paul came into contact with that were under Roman control, and there was a synagogue in the city. And so that wasn't necessarily a blanket Roman law, a blanket Roman rule to be able to have, or if you're under Roman authority, then you can't have a synagogue in your city. What I think it was such a small city and such a small population of Jews in it that there was not enough of them there to even build a synagogue. But look at what they did. Scripture says that they went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They left the city and went to the country to worship the Lord. Do I think that that is a standard that you have to follow? No, but I think we should find comfort in the fact that the Lord's blessed them to be able to constitute a church here in this city where they left the city and went out to the country. I think you stand in a perfect place as a church here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church to still be able to draw people from the city to the country, to a quiet spot, to worship the Lord. It's a situation much like you have here. They left the city and they went to the country. Even John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. And what did the Lord do? The Lord sent the people, what went ye out where? The wilderness to see. If the Lord be in the matter, the people will come. The people shall flow into it. I long for the days of being able to see some of the things that I've read about from our people in times past on the growth of the church. I pray that it come. But I'm not one, if you hadn't figured out yet, and I think that you have, that the ends justify the means that you get there. You have to follow the Spirit of God to get there. And not try things that have been tried in times past and proven that the Lord's Spirit doesn't bless them. But here you have that they left and they worshiped with the women there. I had somebody tell me the other day that there's a church that I know of that has gotten down to just a few sisters. And the comment that was made to me was that it's not in good shape once it gets there, and I wouldn't disagree. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that your best case scenario is to have families in the church and to have husbands and wives, to have children seated with their parents and have the parents hear what their children are being taught, being able to either erase it from their ears on the way home or build upon it during the week. I believe that that's the best case scenario for the church. But here you have a situation where we know that the church continued here. Paul wrote them. He wrote them a letter and he spoke of them very highly on being a good church. But it was built on the backs of sisters. These sisters were the ones that came out by the riverside to hear the preaching of the gospel. Sisters did. I tell you, I'm convinced today that the Lord can take a church that's got just a few elderly folks sitting on the pew where it takes them forever to even get anything going or anything like that. And if the Lord be in the matter, the church can grow. I was speaking to another minister friend of mine the other day, and he told me about an experience of his. He told me that when he first took over the church there, they were just meeting on a couple of Sundays a month. I think first, third, and when there was a fifth Sunday, they met. But on second and fourth, they didn't. And the first, second Sunday they met, he said there was three other sisters there and him. He said he led the singing, he prayed the opening prayer, he preached, and he prayed the closing prayer. And he said when he got... Now, excuse me. There was one other brother there with... There was one other brother there. Excuse me. I want to make sure it's hard to tell him exactly right. It didn't thus saith the word of the Lord. It's thus saith the word of Will Martin. But anyway, there was another brother there. And he came up to him afterward and he said, "Brother," he said, "this..." He said, "I think we just need to probably discontinue this, if this is probably the only response that we're going to get from the church and from the community if we're going to try to meet on this day." And that was about 6 years ago. And he told me this story about a year ago, and he said, "The last second Sunday, we had 54 people at church. 54 people at church." I believe the Lord blesses those who will honor Him. I believe that His Word teaches us that. And here you have a group of sisters, and the church was built upon the backs of these faithful sisters. There's one amongst them who was a long way away from home. Her name was Lydia. If you go and you use the maps in the back of your Bible, you'll find that this account, and I'll try to do it from the way that you're going to be looking at it when you look at the Bible. He started at the beginning of Acts chapter 16 in the region of Galatia. Church in the region of Galatia. And he tried to go into Asia, and the Spirit forbade him not. And Paul traveled up over Asia to a place called Philippi, where a lady from Asia happened to be. Isn't that something? You believe in providence this day, that the Lord said he forbade him to go into those in Asia. He says, "There's a sister that's in Philippi that I want you to go and I want you to preach to, whose heart the Lord opened." And she and her whole house were baptized. Now, you can take this to either be the hired help that she had. I believe that the seller of a seller of purple meant that she was in the silk business. And you can take that the ones in her house were her hired help, or you can take it as her family. It doesn't matter. She was a sister who had authority, spiritual authority, over those who were around her. I believe that the people of God can have a tremendous influence on those who are around us. And I believe I get that from the Scriptures. I believe that if you live a life that is worthy in the sight of God, I believe that those co-workers who are in need will eventually come and say, "There's something different about this brother or this sister. I want to find out some more about them." And you know, your children will as well. Your children, your spouses will follow if you follow the Lord. They'll pay attention to the things that you do. This is not the only example that's contained in Scripture of a whole house following the Lord. You know, if you continue to read, you read about a Philippian jailer who was baptized in his whole house. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the apostles told him, he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." In thy house. You know, some people get the... when they interpret this account that takes place here, that's where the practice of infant baptism comes from, to baptize the whole house, infants and all. Well, I think you're going to have a stretch trying to get that to be what it is teaching here. I think a stretch is probably a little too small of a word to even use. You're going to have to pull some things out of this Scripture that's just not here. But nonetheless, there's their whole household followed. And unless you can find another place in Scripture that shows me where the church at Thyatira was constituted, I believe it was constituted upon the return. Because you'll remember the Apostle John wrote to the church at Thyatira in the book of Revelation. I believe it was, again, constituted upon the back of this sister who happened to be in Philippi, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart that the Lord opened. The last thing she did, and I know you know as well as I do, that the way that we've gone through this is not the way that I normally preach. It's not the way that we usually conduct the preaching order of the service, is to go line by line through things like this. But I pray it's because somebody needed to hear it in this way, broken down very simply about faith and practice in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we should follow the Spirit. And how I've never read anywhere in Scripture where the Spirit fails anybody. I believe that we can sometimes convince ourselves that the Spirit is involved in something that is not, and can quickly become misconstrued about what the Lord would have us to do. But, you know, that word, that last statement that was contained in verse 15, says, Paul said that she constrained us. That she constrained us. If you'll take that statement, you can take it right back to an Old Testament story. In 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's about a great woman of Shunem. a great woman of Shunem. The story, the account there contained where a woman added on to her house so that every time Elijah passed by, that Elijah would come in and she would be able to spend some time with the man of God. Well, here you have a New Testament example right here of one named Lydia, who is like the grandma that we can all remember. You can't go in and without leaving with something to eat. I believe y'all have those folks up here in North Georgia, just like we've got them in South Georgia. You're either going to leave with a plate of food, or you're going to leave with a cookie, you're going to leave with something. And that's what she was. She constrained this body to be there. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. You know, Paul was up, Paul was down. I believe Paul was up whenever he got to baptize this whole household. If you continue to read, you'll read that he converted a soothsayer who, upon the conversion, the ones who were hiring her out and making money off of her called them before the assembly and beat them. I believe that was a downside. But when you continue to read, you'll read that after they were beat, they were put in jail. And they were singing hymns in the jail, and an earthquake came, and you've read the story before, but I pray you go and read it again and use the maps and see how the Lord's providence guided a man through ups and through downs. And it's not just a preacher's life who goes ups and downs, it's everybody's. But the Lord guided him through it. The Lord saw him through it. And just as Brother Brad's thought was from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, today there's a sin which does so easily beset us, cause us to stumble, can cause us to question whether or not the Lord is in the matter, or whether or not he is or he isn't. But you can believe this, that the Lord hadn't forgotten about you, and he'll guide you through those ups and downs. And may the Lord bless us to be able to serve him in a better way, understanding the simplicity of the church, understanding that we are in need of following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and it is my prayer that we would do so as we move forward as a body. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. We're going to sing a hymn.